We're going to spend some time detoxing right now, singing together, worshiping together. Many years ago, wow, was it 15 years ago maybe? 16 years ago? We had just come on staff here at Fort, and I was asked to come down and do a camping thing, it was a camping theme for Breakaway at Elmbrook, and I was supposed to do a campfire, in the Marriott Hotel. So it was sort of a faux campfire thing at night. And I walked in, and this smile and this laugh greeted me from the piano. And you know how there are a handful of people in your life that the first time you see them, you know, this is going to be a friendship. This is going to be a friendship. And Stephanie is that person. What you may not know about her is that she travels with the likes of Anne Graham Lotz. She travels with Joel Briscoe. She plays with Fernando Ortega. Her CDs are in the back. I am so pleased to introduce this friend to you. This mother of four from ages 13 down to four, her youngest just turned four. They're doing the no diaper dance at their house, everybody. Through that stage of life and onto another stage. Her husband is a pastor in the Baraboo area. And the thing that I would tell you, if anybody ever asked me, well, what about Stephanie Seafelt as a worship leader? I have never before experienced somebody who took me so quickly into the throne room with only a few chords. So let's come before the Lord now and worship together and enjoy Stephanie. Thank you.
Well, now I can't make more jokes about the microphone because now it's all worshipy and serious now. Vicki, have you heard the story about the time that Jill Briscoe was doing one of the stadium events with us and she had her mic on and, you know, they said, of course, you know, you can go to the bathroom, and she did, and it fell in the toilet. Do you know this? And, I mean, the whole unit that was, you know, attached to the back of her pants fell in the toilet.
My fear.
It was ruined. So they gave her a fake one at the next event that had, like, a little snorkeling face on it with little flippers. So just be aware. And don't worry about if it falls in. Just make sure they have it turned off when you're in there. That's the most important thing. Don't ask me how I know that either. Well, we're going to sing, and we're going to sing some things that you know, and we'll probably sing some things you don't know. And we're going to honor one another in that by not being upset if you don't know it. Stand or sing or sit or listen. Take it in and respond in the way that the Lord's calling you to in worship. I think the most important thing when we gather in a weekend like this is that we are comfortable to come as we are. Look around this room. I don't see an ounce of pretense anywhere I look, and it's such a relief. Isn't it a relief? So stand as we begin, but know that you're free to sit or move or walk or kneel or whatever you need to do as we sing. If there's something you don't know, listen, and we'll probably sing it a couple times.
Rise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Rise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Rise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen. Rise, shine. His glory shall be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your life, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen.
Possible for the colors of fall to look like they look today. I thought I had seen it all. I thought I had seen your glory on full display in autumn's past, but I have to believe that you must be up to something good. Because you did nothing but turn my attention towards you on the drive up here. And so now I stand before you singing these songs of your creation and wondering, standing in your presence and wondering, what might you have for me in this place while we're here? So as we gather, Lord Jesus, most of all, would you be exalted. Most of all, would your glory be revealed in our conversations, in our time in the scriptures, in our time in our worship times together, but would you, by your Spirit, give us ears to hear? Would you give us eyes to see? And instead of setting aside the cares of the world, would you give us the courage to bring them to the foot of the cross at this place? Thank you for the colors of fall and the resplendent beauty of your glory that we see all around us on full display this weekend. Give us ears to hear your story, which we know matches the brilliance of those colors. Make it so among us, Lord.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Kindness of a Savior, the hope of a nation. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation.
Solid rock on which we stand.
Jesus.
Jesus, for being our firm foundation. We worship and honor you in this place, and we look forward with expectation to what you will do in these days that we're together. We pray in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. You can have a seat just for a minute. I want to teach you one more quick one before Vicky comes back. I wrote this song last time I was here at Fort, so two autumns ago. I was here for a different retreat, and this was based off of our theme verse. I thought it might be fitting for us to sing it together this weekend as well. It sounds like this. The melody is rather repetitive, so it won't take you long. It's pretty easy. Just listen up.
Love like that is a love without limits. Love like that is a love that forgives. Love like that isn't selfish or boasting. Love like that is exclusively
so much, Stephanie. We just look forward to this weekend with you. Ladies, anytime we come into a group like this, there's going to be many of you who are familiar with Fort, and you cross, you know, you drive by the sign, and you just feel like you're home. There's going to be others for you for whom this is a real new experience, and you came because you said you would. And so here you are in the middle of nowhere. And you can't help but remember camp when you were 8 years old and flunked your first swim test. But there's a few things that are true of all of us who are here tonight. And I guess it's only fair to start with me. I do have something I need to get out of the way before we start. Do you have a picture for me? I think I have one more, don't I? I had no idea that this little human being could come into the world 9 months ago and so capture my heart. And so she is a big part of who I am these days. But you know what? There is something common among all of us here. For instance, we women all together, there's somebody in this room that's like you, that has something in common with you. We're your neighbors, your sisters, your BFFs, and your mother-in-law. Somebody in this room, several people in this room, lose keys on a regular basis. If something is too funny, we will wet ourselves. We have had to have somebody half our age program something. Our phone, our computer, our car radio. We've watched someone in an airport and guessed that they were spies. Somebody in here bought new underwear before this. Somebody in here has at least one relative that you would like to take to a ski swap and swap. Somebody in here slept with a poker under their bed when the noises were just too weird outside. There's somebody in here, more than one person, who's completely baffled by at least one appliance in their home. There's at least one, more than one person here, who's cut themselves out of a picture because they didn't like the way they looked in the picture. There are several people in here who think salsa and chips is a food group, no matter what we've learned otherwise. There's somebody in here who wishes they were bolder. There's someone who loves the outdoors and someone who's scared to walk from here to the place that they're sleeping tonight. There's some of you who wonder what your kids are going to look like by Sunday night. There's some of you who desperately need a nap. Some of you have a physical feature or two that you hate, but that somebody else would love to have. Some of you wouldn't walk in here without makeup on. Somebody left home today and then returned because they forgot something. Some of you were packed 2 days ago, and some of you were still throwing things in the suitcase at 5:30. My mother always says, "Have you packed yet?" Like 2 days before the event. And I say, "I'm not leaving for 2 days." We just look at life differently. There's somebody who brought at least 4 pairs of shoes with them. Raise your hand. 4 pairs of shoes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did too, but only because I wanted to ride those horses this year. There are some people here who could actually, like if the road closed and the trees all fell down, could live here for 2 weeks and never need to do laundry. They brought that many things. Somebody in here generally sleeps in the nude and they had to find jammies to bring here. I'll let it be your job this weekend to find out who that is. And there's somebody in here who either has been on, is on, or is promising to start a diet. We need to find that person and tell them they need to start sleeping in the nude. Forget it. It's okay. But I'll tell you, there is one truth about all of us here. All of us are carrying a load. And I'm not going to be a person who says, "So just lay it down because you don't need to carry it anymore," because we're women and we know that's not true. We know that's not true. And yet we have the resources of an ultimate living God to carry our burdens. The problem is that there's many of us here who are carrying things. You know, I told my husband to make this for me, and he really went out of his way. There's a lot of us here who are carrying stuff that we were never meant to carry. Never meant to carry. Tonight, our theme is move on. You have a little outline in front of you. Use it or don't. Whatever's helpful for you. We need to be set free. Psalm 142:7 says, "Set me free from my prison that I may praise your name." Some of us are walking around with this huge thing that we're carrying, and we don't even realize it because we've been carrying it for so long. What are some things that might be in here? Old, rotten banana peels of bitterness. Bitterness of the past. Toxic fear of the future. Fear of being alone. Fear of health. Fear of finances. Disappointment over life. It just hasn't turned out the way I really thought it would. Feelings of disillusionment, that there should have been more. After all this time, there should have been more. Jealousy, anger, frustration, worry about our children. And I'm not talking about the normal mom kind of, please call me when you get there kind of worry. That is something that we moms carry. And I was looking in the face of my precious little granddaughter the other day thinking, oh, and it starts all over. Just when I got the other one safe to the shore of their spouses, you know? Somehow you just feel that they're adults, they're on their own. And then you look in the face of this little person and think, oh, it starts all over. I'm not saying that we don't carry the burdens of our children. I'm saying the kind of worry over your children that eats you alive, the kind that nibbles on you all day long. The New Testament talks about Satan as being a roaring lion roaming around seeking whom he may devour. Roaming around seeking whom he may devour. And we are devoured and consumed by some of the things that we carry, and we don't even know it. I had an experience this year. I'm in the middle of an experience like that. I've always been a healthy person. I knew that I needed to lose some weight, but I was healthy. Numbers all good, everything's always good. And a few years ago, my doctor said, this is your window of opportunity, because your numbers are still all really good. So it's your window of opportunity. And I heard that to be, worry about it tomorrow, some other time. Because to me, it was sort of like, you know, it was like the $14 million trillion debt. You kind of can't get your arms around what that actually means, you know? And so it's like, oh, that's awful. Okay, I got to go to 7-Eleven. I got to do my life. Well, this year when I went, she said, time's up. You've got blood sugar that's suddenly popped up, and now you have to do something about it. And the interesting thing is, I've connected what I put in my mouth with what I have to poke out of my finger the next day. And somehow, it makes a whole lot more sense to me now. It's real. It's there. It's every day. And that was something that I was carrying around that could eventually kill me, and I didn't even know it. I kind of knew it. I kind of knew something wasn't right. I feel better. Didn't realize that I was kind of tired, that I was kind of this or that. And that's what happens when we carry around the stuff that we were never meant to carry. We need to be freed from the prison of a crooked view of God and a crooked view of ourselves and a crooked view of other people. That's part of what we need to be freed from. We need to be freed from a crooked view of God in believing that sometimes we believe that he's distant. We get this in our head that God is distant. And in John 10, it says, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who's given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand, and I and the Father are one. That does not sound like a distant God. My husband is from the East Coast, and when we took Jamie to New York City when he was 3 years old, I put his name in his shoe, and then I made him ride on his dad's shoulders all through the city. I was not going to let go of that little boy. His legs got numb and he cried. I was crazy. But I was not going to let go of that. That's the intensity that God, Christ says he will hang on to us. He is not a distant God. In 10:9 it says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. Excuse me, it's 10:9 is, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it to the full. That is not a God who is distant. We also believe that he's irrelevant. Doesn't make any difference. That's the other thing that creeps up on us in our skewed view of God. And in Psalm 27, one through five, it says this, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. That is not a God who is irrelevant. He is your refuge, he is your stronghold, and he is both incredibly close and incredibly relevant. Another idea that we get about God is that he's just sort of kind of annoyed all the time. That he really wishes that our flesh was better. Vicki, we've been over this and over this, and I thought that by now you would have gotten a little bit better at this. Isaiah 44, 22. I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. This is a God who is not annoyed. If you don't hear anything else tonight, and I know it's late and you're tired, if you don't hear anything else tonight, hear that God is not annoyed with your flesh. He's not annoyed with your flesh patterns. He has no expectations for your flesh. You can work at that flesh and work at that flesh, and it's never going to get better. He wants to exchange his life for yours. And he's the only one who can clean up your act. I ran a preschool in Managua for several years. I had this little girl. Some of you have heard this story. This little girl was an absolutely beautiful child. She was 4 years old, and she'd already been in something like three or four weddings. She had this auburn hair that just rolled down her back. She was beautiful, little freckles across her nose. And she liked to wear the dresses that she had worn to weddings to school, complete with the ribbons and the tiaras or whatever came with them. And always they had matching tights and the shoes with the bows, and she wanted to wear the whole thing. And that's how she came to school day after day. Now she's four. And one day she was in the bathroom, and she stayed in the bathroom. And she stayed in the bathroom. She stayed in the bathroom. And I finally went to the door and knocked and said, Sammy? And I opened the door, and she threw herself against the door. Would not let me in. And she's crying by now, crying, 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 howling, crying. And I said, I have to come in, Sammy. And I pushed the door open, and she had a fit, just threw herself on the floor. This little girl had gone to the bathroom, had had a bowel movement, had not gotten the tights down far enough, and it was everywhere. And then she had proceeded to try to clean herself up. And it was on the walls, it was on the counter, it was on the floor. It was amazing. It was everywhere. And it was all over her princess dress. And she was hysterical. I physically had to take care of her because she fought me the whole way. But here's my point. I was the only one in the room who could help her. And I was not disappointed at all that this happened to a four-year-old. She was just in over her head. She was trying to do stuff she couldn't do. She was walking in her own strength to do something she was not able to do, and she made a mess of it. She made a mess of it. And I was the only one who could clean her up. Ladies, he's the only one who can clean us up. He's the only one who can take this stuff, this junk that we're carrying that we shouldn't be carrying. Am I clicking here? My earrings. Okay. He's the only one who can take those things and clean us up. We cannot clean up our own mess. And so we cannot say that I'm going to invite him in 100%, the whole thing, give him the keys, once I get it tidied up a little bit. I used to clean house for a woman that I swear she cleaned before I got there. I had to sort of mark where I started and mark where I ended because you couldn't see anything. Nothing was different than when I'd been there before. So you just kind of marked and, okay, it's your quarter, lady. But we so many times feel like we need to clean it up, that we need to go through this and get it all cleaned up before we invite him into it. I'm not saying that it happens fast. You see, we also have to be cleared from a crooked view of ourself. In Psalm 51, it says, "Surely you desire truth in my inmost being." God is the only one who can tell us the truth about ourselves, because we tend toward either judging ourselves too lightly. Everybody does that. Everybody has that problem. Everybody gossips. Everybody does this. Everybody does that. To being too hard on ourselves. Oh, I'm the most horrible person on the face of the planet. Why would he love me? I get why he died for her, but he didn't die for me. He couldn't. He wouldn't. We judge ourselves like that. He's the only one who can judge us rightly. If we are in the category of just trying harder, then you came here exhausted, because there's no way that that's ever going to work. Another thing that we do is we ignore the signs that all is not well. We feel a little something, feel not quite right, and we blame others, we blame ourselves, we blame God. And it leads to isolation and depression, because we are not allowing God to come in and carry the things that we're not supposed to be carrying. We have a crooked view of other people. We generally end up thinking that they are better or worse than me. You know, and we want to stand by the ones that are worse. Not too close. Not too close, but We think of people in terms of being better or worse, and we judge their baggage and their life while not realizing what they need and what they have to carry. And those are the things that we are going to ask God to start to free us from. As you're going to see over the weekend, it is the walk of wisdom is not an overnight thing. We are never able to say, okay, there's my junk. All right, see ya, great, take care of my junk. We never can do that. We go through times of giving it away, then tugging it back, giving it away, tugging it back. I don't know what I'm doing, sorry. But the fact is that what we do is we say, I've got junk I'm not supposed to be carrying. And Father, I invite you to the door of that place. I invite you to that place that's toxic, that hurts still after all these years. I invite you to that careless remark that somebody made in junior high school that got me stuck in the way I looked at myself, that got me stuck in the way that I look at other people. I invite you to that place, Father. We have to learn to become like preschoolers. Sometimes we would walk in the big field behind the school, and every once in a while, they would step in dog dew because other people walked their dogs. Do you know what preschoolers do when they have dog dew on their shoe? Mrs. Fleming, get it off. Get it off. Here, there's dog on my shoe. Get it off. No shame. They're the ones who stepped in it, but there is no shame. They know that I'm responsible for getting it off their shoe. So here's my foot. Get it off my shoe. Just like little boys are notorious for coming up to you with their untied shoes, say, this is your knee, and they go, no. It's like, do you need help? Yeah. And it's like, okay, this is cute at 3. This is going to be pathetic at 17. And it's not even going to be funny at 60. Not even. But the fact is, preschoolers know where to go get their needs met. She's the teacher. She's in charge. You got stuff on your shoe. She'll get it off. Go tell her. Go tell her. They're also incredible at warning each other. I had a couple of little ones that would just have meltdown fits. And we'd have to do things like, we're going to go to the gym. You can walk or I can carry you. And there was one child that tested me on that for 2 months until finally she cooperated. Then a new child came in and she pulled the exact same thing. And I said, you can walk or I will carry you. And the first child said, walk. We need to live like preschoolers. We need to know when to say, get it off. It's yucky. I stepped in it again. And we need to say, you know what? I've tried pushing him before and it doesn't work, so walk. Do what he's asked you to do. There are burdens that we have to carry. And I know that some of you are here this weekend with incredible burdens. And some of them are just the burdens of life. My 81-year-old mother just had surgery, and I was keeping baby Olivia the other day and making soup for my mother while Olivia, who's been teething, was trying to crawl up my leg. And you just think, what is wrong with this picture? You know? Sandwich generation. There are things we have to carry. There are those of you in here who have had to carry incredible things. I've stood with some of you in those things. And they're big. They're huge. I was there, April, the day that we stood and said goodbye to her 18-year-old son who'd just been killed in a car accident. There are those of you here whose marriages are either failing or have failed. There's those of you here who thought you had a good and permanent job situation, and everything has changed. I'm not saying that there's not big stuff that we have to carry. But this is different than this. Trying to live our life, trying to carry the things we're supposed to carry, and all the junk that I've collected over the years that I'm refusing to give up, that I'm refusing to let go of. one night after one of these, a woman came up to me in another town, weeping, wanting to know if she could talk. We sat down, and she told me the sad and horrific story of how her husband had left her for another woman, left her with four children. And my heart was bleeding for this lady. She was weeping, weeping, weeping. And I finally said, "When did it happen?" And she said, 27 years ago. What? What? That is a huge life-altering thing. But our God is a God of healing. Our God is a God who can. On the way here tonight, I heard a report that a man in Louisiana who's been on death row for murder of his second cousin for 15 years has just been exonerated by DNA. And they interviewed him and said, "How do you feel?" And he said, I feel free. I feel free. It's what I prayed for. It's what I looked for. But you live so long that way, you think it might never come. And ladies, some of you here, some of us here have lived so long that way, so long angry, so long disappointed, so long having unmet expectations that we've shriveled inside and we're afraid it'll never change. And God is inviting you to freedom. He's inviting you to the everlasting waters of freedom. In Isaiah 43, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." He is a God who will carry it or get rid of it if we're not supposed to carry it. Where do we come in with each other? Yes, there are things that we should not be carrying. And there are things that we simply must carry. And I'd like to end by telling you about the hiking trip that I went on as a speaker with Fort Wilderness. Women's hiking trip. Okay? That didn't say to me real strenuous, hard. I'm thinking nice long walks. Okay? So I wasn't prepared, which is my first problem, my first thing. So we go to the gorgeous north shore of Minnesota, and we're looking at the topography maps before we start. I haven't done a lot of these, but I know that when it goes like this, this is not good. And they said, "Well, somebody ran it, and they did it in 2-3 hours. And I said, "Who ran it?" "Oh, so-and-so. He's 23 years old. And he runs because he likes it." But, you know, I'm going to be the good sport. I'm going to do this. And so we start. I think we finished it like 8 hours later. But the difficult thing is that somebody got hurt, and there were two of us waiting there, and then two people went on ahead. And they'd only been gone maybe 10 minutes. And somebody else came to wait who actually could do something to help this woman. And so I was going to catch up with these two. Okay? But mind you, they're walking, walking, walking. And so no matter how much I'm walking, 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 they're still walking, walking, walking. And so I'm alone on this trail for 2 hours. And at first it was just sort of, but I'm doing it, I'm doing it, I got my little thingy, I'm doing it. And then after a while, I stopped and I realized, I have no idea if there's anybody behind me, I have no idea if there's anybody in front of me, I don't know what I'm doing out here. And I think it's just one trail, but suppose I took a wrong turn. I mean, I should have caught up with them. Don't they ever have to stop? You know? Don't they ever need a drink of water? Just at the point where I was starting to feel a little bit panicky, like, this may never end. I may be out here forever. Around the corner came Sue Robertson, who 2 years ago went home to Jesus, and Robin Hartman. And they said, we came back for you. And I've never been more glad to see two people in my life. And not only did they come back for me, but one of them grabbed the water bottle and one of them grabbed the backpack, which had become very heavy. They just had. They were things I needed to carry, but they had become heavy. And so, ladies, I'm suggesting that you not leave this weekend until you have, in the quiet of your heart, identified something that you're carrying that you should not be carrying. And I want to suggest, too, that you find somebody to share with a burden that you just have to carry. Where you are, be real. I wore this shirt for you tonight. My favorite shirt. I love this shirt. But I've loved it for a really long time. And it's frayed from here to here. And I did something with bleach one time at the sink. And so it's a little pink right there. It has a hole in it. And tonight the microphone like totally ripped the hem. I was looking at this shirt today thinking, oh, I really like this shirt. I like navy blue checks. There's just something about them. I just like them. It's my only navy blue check shirt. Hint, hint. And I looked down and I thought, I can't wear this shirt. It's frayed. It's got the thingy, whatever I did there. I can't wear it. And then I thought, oh, yes, I can. I'm the speaker. I can do whatever I want. But more importantly, I thought, you know what? This is come as you are. This is, let's not pretend we don't have frays. Let's not pretend we didn't ever lean on the sink where there was bleach. Let's just not pretend we never did those things. Let's be real. Let's be real, please. I'm to that wonderful time in my life, 57, where I can actually choose who I want to hang out with. You know? Yeah. I can. And I want to hang out with people who are real. I want to be real. I want to be able to be real. Let's do it. Let's do it together. The death row inmate been waiting, dreaming to be free. And when they asked him tonight on the radio, how do you feel? He said, I feel free. Now, will he have some baggage? Of course he will. Will he have some stuff that he has to deal with? Yes. Will he have bad dreams, nightmares? Will he sometimes wake up and think that he's not free for a minute? He'll have all those things. But the fact is that he will be dealing with all those things from the place of freedom. Stand fast, therefore. Galatians 1, is it 5:1? Stand fast, therefore, in the freedom wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not enslaved again to a yoke of bondage. Say no to the bondage, ladies. Say no to the bondage. Tomorrow we'll talk about a tale of two dogs. One that knows how to stay, and one that doesn't. Have a wonderful night.